Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, today it's open mic, as I call it. Let's Face the Issues. We can discuss any issue that you would like to, keeping us on track with some of the most current issues that I believe that every Christian, every conservative should be listening up and attuned to and saying and being involved in the process. I just finished with a brief article titled, "The Trump Administration Moves to Protect Public Prayer in Public Schools and Federal Funds for Religious Organizations." Let me read you that basic statement once again. Betsy DeVos says, "Our actions today will protect the constitutional rights of students and teachers and faith-based organizations. The department's efforts will level the playing field between religious and non-religious organizations competing for federal grants, as well as protecting First Amendment freedoms on campus and the religious liberties of faith-based institutions." She says, "I proudly share President Trump's commitment to religious freedom and the protection of our First Amendment rights," end quote. The article further says the Department of Education plans to issue guidance that will require local school districts to certify that they have no rules or regulations that conflict with students' right to pray in public schools. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a renowned, if you please, major move on part of President Donald J. Trump. In fact, let me be bold enough to make a statement. I believe that President Donald J. Trump has done more for religious liberties and freedom of speech and for Christians in the United States of America than our other presidents combined in my life. Ladies and gentlemen, he has taken a stand. And one of the reasons that Nancy Pelosi and the socialist Marxist Democrats hate him so is because he does not bow, he does not bend, he does not kiss the boots of the societal swamp in the sewer in Washington and stands for our Bill of Rights and the liberties that we have therein. I don't know about you, but it should cause us to rejoice in the realization that he has taken these stands. As you may or may not know, it was May 15th of 2017. I believe it was the exact date. It was in May, and it was in 2017. President Trump, by executive order, canceled the IRS right to come in and challenge a church or a Christian or a pastor what he could or could not say in the pulpit, releasing and untying the fetters of millions of pastors across America, allowing them to take a stand on central biblicist issues. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the way it ought to be. That's the way it always has been, always should be, because when a person says yes to Jesus Christ, we do not lose our religious liberties. We do not lose our constitutional rights. We do not lose our First Amendment, Second Amendment, et cetera, rights simply because we're a Christian and standing and proclaiming the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Again, may I call to your attention that when it comes to a central biblicist worldview, we need to understand, embrace, and be willing to be the watchman on the wall for religious issues, those issues that the Bible talks about the home, about the family, about theology, and about doctrine, as well as about the government. God created government, according to Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. God created government to prosecute evil and protect the good, and not to promote evil and to persecute good. There's a vast difference, because government is designed by God as being a servant of God. And most of our legislators, whether it be on a local level, state level, or national level, most of the legislators do not recognize that they are emissaries of God when they're elected. They're servants of God, not of self and self-serving. They're servants of God. And I would be frightened to death to be in a position before God. I'd be frightened to death to be in the position of Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and Adam Schiff and Jerry Nadler and the whole team that's trying to tear down and destroy by lie and by deceit and by derision in America, trying to destroy a properly constitutionally elected president. Ladies and gentlemen, here's another article talking about what President Trump is doing today. President Trump to highlight updated guidance on prayer in public schools. President Trump is committed, this article says, is committed to making sure that people of faith, particularly children, are not subjected to illegal punishment or pressure for executing their constitutionally protected rights of prayer. Trump is scheduled to announce the updated guidance in the Oval Office at 2 p.m. on Thursday, which is the National Religious Freedom Day. The updated guidance is one of the three actions that the Trump administration has taken on Thursday, described as a continued effort by the president, quote, to defend the constitutionality and protected rights and the free exercise of religion in public schools, end quote. Among the actions touted by the administration and nine agencies include the Department of Justice, Health, Human Services, and Education are releasing proposed rules that will remove the Trump administration's official described what the Trump administration has officially described as the discriminatory regulations and regulatory burdens that the Obama administration put on religious organizations in his office. Ladies and gentlemen, I am thankful for that. If the president didn't do anything else today but that, if he didn't do anything else in his 4 to 8 years term in serving as president, I'd be perfectly satisfied with thus far what he has done. He's done more for America, the protection of America, the standing with Israel, and the standing with the our Constitution, and providing for us religious liberties, freedom of speech, and the defense of our Second Amendment, ladies and gentlemen, than any other president in my lifetime. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, it's Nancy Pelosi and the anti-American march was in the Capitol as of yesterday. It was something that I believe is a major, major, major disservice to the United States of America. And ladies and gentlemen, this is why President Trump is so hated. It's why the socialist, Marxist, communist Democrats and the House members are so antagonized by him. I believe in reality, they don't just hate the president. They hate America. And their actions are proving it. And ladies and gentlemen, for any human being to stand and to beguile God and to basically besmirch the biblical truth about prayer, as Nancy Pelosi has and some of the other left liberals, and at the same time embrace the sodomite lifestyle, embrace, ladies and gentlemen, the murder by way of abortion, embrace the destruction of American sovereignty, embrace the Sharia law that's creeping and now absolutely running rampant in the United States of America, I believe that it's an impossibility to say I'm saved and be a Democrat and do what the Democrats do and believe what they do and embrace what they're embracing. It's an impossibility. Ladies and gentlemen, it should cause every Christian to wake up, stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen, and no longer sit in silence, sequestered in a closet, thinking that somehow, someway, it'll all blow over. Ladies and gentlemen, the House selecting its managers for the management of this impeachment process, these impeachment managers, none of them, ladies and gentlemen, in fact, of all of them that they have selected, the one that's the liar-in-chief, Adam Schiff, it is a sad, sad shame that he would be leading that. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, says Adam Schiff will head the team of seven impeachment managers. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi announced among the seven Democrat lawmakers who will serve as impeachment managers in the Senate trial against President Trump. The group will be headed by the House Intelligence Committee Chairman, Adam Schiff. Ladies and gentlemen, Adam Schiff should be called as a witness. Of course, he'd refuse to speak. He would take the Fifth Amendment if he would even appear at all. He is a material witness. How can he be the one that does the presentation of the indictment against President Trump, the false, phony, fake two charges against him? How can he do that and at the same time be a material witness? I find it antithetical to anything that's called constitutional law or biblical truth for that to be allowed, but it's taking place. And this article says Chairman Adam Schiff, the California Democrat, who conducted weeks of hearings and depositions in the impeachment investigation. The list also includes House Judiciary Committee Jerry Nadler, New York, Democrat, Zoe Lofgren of California, also will serve. Also served on the Judiciary Committee. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, here's the icing on the cake. House Democratic Caucus Chairman Hakeem Jeffries. Ladies and gentlemen, Hakeem Jeffries is an Islamic jihadist. Hakeem Jeffries from New York was also selected to serve as one of the impeachment managers. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a slap in the face of any American citizen when we find this taking place. When we find, ladies and gentlemen, that we have right now multitudes in the House and in the Senate that are those that are Islamic jihadists, and yet, at the same time, ladies and gentlemen, the Council on American Islamic Relations are postulating, promulgating, and pushing some 5,200 some 5,200 Islamic jihadists for office for November the 3rd, 2020. Ladies and gentlemen, it should frighten the socks off any citizen, any conservative, any American, any Christian in particular. And this goes on to say, if all of these managers, all of these managers have experience, Pelosi believes will help, will have the experience that will help the Democrats make their case in the Senate. Quote, the emphasis is on litigators and on making the strongest possible case for the American people, end quote. She's not doing this for the American people. Nancy Pelosi is doing this for her own, how would you say, her own resume. Nancy Pelosi is doing this out of her own ego, out of her own internal hatred and animus for Donald J. Trump as the properly, legally elected president of the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, it's sad to see this taking place, but at least we have, listen carefully, at least we have one national, yea, international Christian voice that's being heard, that's speaking out and not sitting in silence. This is the reason I've said for so many years it is so imperative. It is imperative that we as Christians recognize our responsibility, our duty before God, and responsibility to stand and not bow and not bend when it comes to issues like this. Here's an article that says, as impeachment heads to the Senate, Franklin Graham, this was about 3 days ago, 2 days ago, 2 days ago now, as impeachment heads to the Senate, Franklin Graham shreds Democrats and liberal media for their hatred for Trump. Christian evangelist Franklin Graham is calling out Democrats and liberal media for their hatred for President Donald J. Trump. He's raised the issue several times in recent months. Talking about here is talking about Franklin Graham. He, speaking of Franklin Graham, has raised the issue in the past several months, repeatedly calling on Americans to pray for the president and Vice President Mike Pence to carry out God's will for our country. Graham noted that Pelosi is saying that Trump is impeached for life. Impeached for life. Ladies and gentlemen, what does that mean? She's saying that it will be the indelible historic record that President Donald J. Trump, the 45th president of the United States of America, was impeached by the U.S. House. She is gleeful. She is adamant about that. And she is laughing inside, if you'd call it that. And behind the scenes, she's doing the high five and the fist bumps with all the other socialist Marxist Democrats in carrying this out. This article says, it's sad, this is Franklin Graham speaking, it's sad that never has there been such a level of hatred as there has been for Donald Trump from the Democrats and the liberal media. Why? He asked the question. It may be because he hasn't bowed down to them. He hasn't cowered to the media or to Nancy Pelosi, and they can't stand it, end quote. He said Democrats, quote, have lied and continue to lie. I'm speaking and quoting from Franklin Graham. Franklin Graham says President Donald J. Trump has consistently done what he thought was best for America and the American people and what he told the voters in 2015 and 16 that he was going to do, Graham said. This impeachment is about embarrassing the president and trying to win the next election at all cost. They hate him so much that they wanted to soil his reputation and make him one of three presidents in American history to be impeached. Quote, but I believe, this is Franklin Graham, but I believe the American voters will see through these lies and through the never-ending charade. The Russian hoax was such a huge distraction, and now the impeachment. Franklin Graham says, I pray God will strengthen our president, strengthen our vice president, Mike Pence, and watch over their families and protect them from these lies and false statements coming from the left. And then he states, is President Trump guilty of sin? Of course he is, as well as all past presidents and same as each and every one of us, including myself. Therefore, let's pray for the president as he continues to lead the affairs of our great nation, end quote. And I second the motion, ladies and gentlemen. May I say again, we need to pray for the president, pray for the vice president, pray for the security and the protection of our nation. Ladies and gentlemen, that God will continue to intervene and give our president strength and wisdom, that he will protect him from all harm and danger as he continues to lead the United States of America. We're in grave danger if we continue to sit in silence. I'm thankful for people like Franklin Graham that's willing to take a public stand against the hatred of our president. We need more Christian leaders who are willing to take a stand and to be watchmen on the wall. say to our people and to our nation, God will not allow this to take place. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, if we find the impeachment of President Donald J. Trump become a reality out of the Senate, if that were to any way, shape, or form take place, I'm fearful that we'd have a revolution that would make the Civil War look like a child's picnic as to what will take place in America as a result of that. I'm concerned for our nation, ladies and gentlemen. I'm concerned for what's happening not only in Washington, but, ladies and gentlemen, I'm concerned about what's happening in Richmond, Virginia. I'm concerned about what's happening in the state of Virginia. We're looking at, I believe we can look at the state of Virginia and see a microcosm of what will rush across America if this is not squelched and if we do not see success in Washington with President Trump and with the opportunity we have of seeing things changing across our nation. Perhaps you've already heard, perhaps you've read the rumblings about the Civil War in the great state of Virginia. And I call it a Civil War. It's a Civil War today. Now that all three branches of the government in Virginia, ladies and gentlemen, are controlled by the socialist Marxist Democrats, we're watching the socialist Marxist Communist Democrats stand up to try to take control of the state of Virginia and circumvent the constitutional liberties and the freedom of speech and the right to keep and bear arms for the Virginia citizens. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. We have an open mic, an opportunity for you to call in and discuss any issue. We're talking about some of the mainline issues that Christians ought to be concerned about, every conservative should be concerned about, and we need to be in prayer about. You can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. That telephone call gets you directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can have a lively dialogue and discussion, debate, if you like, on some of these issues. But, ladies and gentlemen, civil war is taking place in the state of Virginia as I speak, because right now all three branches of government in the great Commonwealth of Virginia, all three branches of the government are controlled by the socialist, Marxist, leftist Democrats. And it's being led by Governor Northam, the former child physician that now believes that it's all right to perform abortion right up until the birth of the baby. If the abortion is thwarted and the baby is born alive, he says you can take the baby, lay it over on the table, keep it comfortable until it dies. Yes, that's the same governor now that wants to disarm the citizens in the state of Virginia. He has, Senate Bill 16, I believe is the actual bill number on that, Senate Bill 16, that was in the process of being pushed through the House and the Senate in Richmond. And as a result of that, I believe it's like 120,000 of those in the state that rose up and said, we're not having our weapons taken, because that Senate Bill 16 was to confiscate weapons in the state of Virginia. And as a result of that, hundreds of thousands have risen up and said no. In fact, 133 counties in Virginia, 133 counties, over 100 of the counties where the constitutionally elected sheriffs have said that we will be a sanctuary city or sanctuary county for gun owners. They have said over 100 of the counties, the elected sheriffs have said, we will not enforce any law that will require us to confiscate weapons from the law-abiding citizens in the state of Virginia. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't think it's coming to a boiling point, then you've been sleeping under a rock someplace for quite a few years. May I remind us, the socialist Marxist Democrats are moving to confiscate all firearms from the law-abiding citizens in Virginia. This, of course, will not stop the criminals from obtaining a weapon. If you don't believe that, just look at what's happening across America with the so-called mass shootings. Mass shooting, by the way, is identified when there's four or more killed in a shooting. You didn't watch on CNN News or any of the other fake phony network news much, if any, about the shooting out in Texas in the church, where as a result of law-abiding citizens being armed and capable of hitting the target and neutralizing the subject, which is what took place in that church, where in 6 seconds the citizens protected themselves and neutralized the danger as a result of about seven men in the church that we know of that were armed and able to fire a weapon. And one of them was successful in neutralizing the shooter in 6 seconds. Now, what if they'd not been allowed to carry a gun? What if the guns had been confiscated in Texas? What if that had taken place? They would have been sitting there as sitting ducks with the opportunity for that shooter to take out 50, 60, 100 of the 242 members that were present that Sunday morning. But ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that is very, very clear in relationship to Virginia. Virginia gun confiscation bill pulled as a huge pro-gun crowd shows up at the legislature to protest. Democrats might wield power in the Old Dominion, but gun rights backers haven't given up on the fight. As lawmakers met Monday to consider the slew of gun control bills, they were greeted by thousands of Second Amendment supporters determined to voice their opposition. The one bill known as Senate Bill 6, SB 6, a controversial measure that would have effectively allowed authorities to confiscate weapons that violate the law, that is, the gun law, the gun bill, was withdrawn entirely. It was the potential of people power on full display, end quote. We are beyond impressed by today's turnout, said J.D. Spiker, Virginia State Director for the National Rifle Association Institute for Legislative Action. You can see the passion and enthusiasm that the citizens of Virginia have in joining us in this fight. It's a fight that's been building since the fall's election, put both houses and the state legislature in the Democrats' hands, along with the governor's office, which Democrat Ralph Northam won in 2017. In response to the ambitious Democratic plans to proceed with gun control measures, Second Amendment supporters have mobilized throughout the state with individual jurisdictions declaring themselves to be sanctuary for the Second Amendment rights. Ladies and gentlemen, here's another article that says, panicked Virginia governor plans temporary gun ban ahead of the massive Second Amendment rally. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Oh, hi, Dr. Youngblood. My name is Carrie. I live in St. Augustine, Florida, originally from New York. And I do want to say how much I appreciate you bring attention to the crisis that really faces the United States faces right now. And, you know, I've thought quite a bit about, like, why are they so vicious towards Donald Trump? And it only dawned on me the other day that their socialist Marxist agenda was moving ahead very nicely until Donald Trump won the election. And this sent them into a panic, and they are rabid about getting rid of him. So I don't know so much they've had a soft coup, but they have definitely hijacked the government. That we really don't even know what's going on in the world. Everything is just Trump, 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 and how bad, 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 bad. And it just flies in the face of what he is really accomplishing. And unless you listen to, like, your show or, you know, some other programs that are even the international, like, you know, news programs that are reporting, you just don't even know. All you know is what they're fabricating about what he's doing that's so detrimental to the country. And I really lay this whole trend on the Clintons' doorstep, because I think this really all began with them, and it all began where they got away with lying, just bold-faced lying to the American people about, you know, his what he did with, you know, Monica Lewinsky and her with Benghazi, and all of the Democrats, all of their parties and the socialist Marxists have picked this up, and this is how they deal with whenever they're confronted with the truth. They just go on the offensive and basically tell you, you're crazy. And I think the American people have to just look at these sanctuary cities, look at what's happening in California, where working class people, small business owners have to deal with what's happening on the street, all the legalization of pot, which just basically takes away people's initiative, the breakdown of the family, the you know, vilification of Christianity. To see where they're going, the breakdown of society, so that they can come in and rescue us, and by basically, you know, telling people they're going to give them everything they need, free this, free that, whatever. And just a word of caution. Are you there, Dr. Youngblood?
I'm listening. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. And I just want to caution anybody who is a non-Christian, especially the Muslim community, because if you think you're safe now, all you have to do is look at what's happening in China, in that far area of China. I'm not exactly sure where it is, where they are now putting them in re-education centers and trying to take their religion away too. So when you take away my religion, Christianity, don't think you're safe because you're next.
You're exactly right. Thank you so much for that input. Let's go back to a basic, and you can either hang up or hang on either way, but go back to the basic. It is a soft coup that was attempted in Washington where there was a total disdain for the president. In fact, one of the FBI top echelon said that it would be a million to one chances for President Trump to win the election. So when he won the election, it was a shockwave that went across the nation and around the world. And they were shocked because they discovered that their hand in the cookie jar would now be discovered, because President Donald J. Trump, when he took office, when he was sworn into the office, there was about 4,100 Obama leftovers that he has to deal with. And that's caused all of the pain and the heartache and the difficulty now is because of all of those embedded bureaucrats left over from the Obama administration are there to undermine everything that President Donald J. Trump says or does, and trying to in some way impeach him based on what he says or does each day. And if he's reelected in November, this impeachment process is not over. They will try the impeachment over and over again. They're already bragging about the fact that the Constitution does not limit the number of times that they can impeach a president. And so they have been shaken to the core as a result of President Trump being elected. He thought he was going to drain the swamp, but he's discovered that it's a sewer that he's having to drain. And we need to pray for him, pray that God's going to give him strength and wisdom and protection to carry it out. And when it comes to the Islamic aspect of it, we're watching creeping Sharia, that Sharia law that's taking place in America, and our politicians on either side of the aisle, Democrat or Republic, none's doing anything about it, because the mega billions of dollars that's being poured into the economic system through the political process by the Muslims that wants to see Muslim candidates being elected, because this CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations, has 5,200 Islamic candidates running for office in 2020, in 2020, November the 3rd. So, yes,
I agree with you 100%, Dr. Youngblood. And as a woman, that Sharia law is especially terrifying because it's most a lot directed against infidels, which we are, according to them, and women.
Yes, that you're exactly right. Thank you so much for your call. Thank you for your input, your dialogue and discussions. Always welcomed on Let's Face the Issues. Ladies and gentlemen, as we continue to think about that, we need to understand that we're living in the last of the last days, where the Bible says it's perilous times. Perilous means dark, dangerous, difficult, devastating. We're living in those days. We need to keep on looking up, lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. Thank you for tuning in today. Looking forward to meeting you next time as, once again, we face the issues.
Study 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.